Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, a love of running leads to a lifetime of coaching.
It really just started with me getting so into running when I was in high school. That's really where I caught the running bug. Even though I'd run a little bit when I was younger and I was successful sort of in elementary school, it was really in high school that the bug bit me. And I think we've all had that experience where you kind of like, wow, I'm a runner. I really want to get better at this. And as a result, I just started reading and studying and listening to anything I could about how to be better at running. And that's what I wanted to study in college.
Staying fit at 85.
I'm a keen runner, and most of my family, the kids, we had four kids. My three girls all got to be pretty good long-distance runners. I got into marathons. I did 16 marathons. I do lots of sports, and I'm competitive. I'm good at it.
And an elite runner with a new and happier outlook.
Having already ticked off all of the boxes I had ever really hoped to tick off in my running career, you know, like I say, everything is sort of icing on the cake. So every PB and every national team I make is really awesome. But I'm not, when I'm training and when I'm running, I'm just thankful that I'm still able to do this. And it's sort of a different mindset than it was before, where it was like, I have to hammer every workout. I need to do all this stuff. I need to be faster. Now it's just kind of like, when you let yourself just be, it's amazing how it just happens.
On this edition of iRun Radio, we'll talk to longtime running coach Greg McMillan. Have you ever used the running calculator on the McMillan Running website? We're going to talk about the history of that and more. Also, Norman Spinks, an octogenarian athlete, is going to join us. And Natasha Wodak, who's coming off a great half marathon performance in Houston and has a brand new outlook on running that's serving her well. Let's get things started now with the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hello, Ben.
Hello, sir.
Normally I ask you how you're doing this week, what kind of week you've had, but look, while I've been here in Canada toughing it out through a major winter snowstorm, you just happen to have been in Puerto Rico at a running conference, so I don't even have to ask you how you've been.
Yeah, sometimes, you know, when it's minus 25 and the car won't start and the pipes are frozen, I just prefer to run on the beach in Puerto Rico when the weather's 25.
Yeah, you just hop on your jet and head down there. No, this was planned and your timing was good. Nothing wrong with being in Puerto Rico in February. And this is the Running USA conference you were at?
That's right. So once a year, Running USA puts together a big conference where all sorts of different people come together, races from the Boston Marathon and the New York Marathon to smaller ones in the middle of the country. And there's a big Canadian contingency that comes every year, including Sports Stats and the Calgary Marathon and the Iron and the Winnipeg Marathon. We're all just trying to hear about sort of best practices and trends in the industry and, you know, what we can do and what I can do and how we can make running better, more fun, more appealing to the widest possible amount of people.
All right. What did you learn? What did you pick up from this event?
Well, you know, for a sport that seems like all you really need is a pair of shorts and sneakers, it's awfully complicated and there's a whole bunch of different ancillary things involved. But we're happy to say that, you know, running and racing is as popular as ever, and more women are getting into the sport, and races are doing more and more to sort of enhance the race. So, you know, where it used to be that you could kind of come show up and get a banana at the end, now races are incorporating things like selfie stations and donut walls. And, you know, instead of just getting a banana at the end, there's like a fireman with his shirt off and giving a Tiffany necklace if you do the Nike race.
Right.
So, you know, all of these fun things, and I'm not sure all of these things are necessary, and it's not really what I kind of prefer, but I'm glad to hear about it, and I'm glad that people are thinking about this stuff and anything to bring more people into the sport, right?
Yeah, for sure. Now, what would you prefer at the finish line, a fireman with his shirt off or a Tiffany necklace? What's your choice?
I know
that's a tough call for you.
The two together is almost too much. The mind explodes. But I guess I would say the Tiffany necklace, and I would give it to my wife.
Yeah, well, that's a good answer. There you go. Nice one. But, you know, for me, all I want is the finish line experience, right? I just want to go from, you know, to turn the corner, see that finish line a couple hundred yards away, hear the crowd roaring, have a lot of people around at the finish line, and feel that energy as you're making those final few steps and you know you're going to make it, and just savor that moment and run across the finish line and then have a bunch of volunteers there congratulating you, putting a medal around your neck, maybe giving you a bottle of water, wrapping one of those foil blankets around you. That's all I'm looking for. I don't need it. I don't need a donut. I don't need a beer. I don't need all that other stuff, you know? Everybody's different.
That, I do need plenty of porta potties, though, at the front. You know, when there's a race of 20,000 and 19,000 have to pee at the same time, you got to make sure there's enough accounted for. The line in the Starbucks gets too long.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, right? You don't need all those bells and whistles.
Yeah.
I mean, for some people, yeah. And if, look, in the end, if it's what brings people to the sport and it's a bit of a gimmick and instead of doing that marathon, I'm going to do that one because they got this special thing at the finish line. I get that. It's all marketing. It's all, but just, you know, at the heart of it, it's like anything in life, right? Get the fundamentals right. Put on a good event. You know, have lots of great volunteers. Be organized and you're on your way. You'll be fine.
I mean, I completely agree from my experience, too. But, I mean, you and I have both run many, many marathons, and we've traveled around. I mean, we've devoted our life to this. So, you know, the races don't have to worry about attracting us. We're serial racers. You know, we're going to do this regardless, and we're going to stay in the sport regardless. I mean, we're what you'd call, like, pretty hardcore, you know? I mean, once you've written more than one running book, you're pretty much started a running magazine, you know? So I agree, but, you know, it's how do we get my mother involved, and how do we get, you know, the people that are playing e-games, and how do we bring them to the sport? So, you know, but I hear you. I mean, the gimmicks and the donuts and all that stuff, you know, I don't need it either. And I think also when you start doing that stuff, the price to participate in these events goes up, and the environmental footprint too. I mean, I think a big thing, this is a big theme this week too. I mean, we're runners, we're part of the community, you know, so when we throw water bottles all over the place and, you know, leave the place a disaster area, like, you know, we want to make sure we have, we're responsible. So that's been a big theme too.
All right, so we have Natasha Wodak on the show today. We should talk about her a little bit because she's been running really well lately. A great half marathon in Houston where she put in a personal best. And I think you told me she's going to be on the cover of the next issue of iRun. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. And one of the things from Natasha, which is so great, and she'll tell you herself, but her attitude, I mean, she brings a certain fun lovingness to the sport, and she's intense, don't get me wrong. I mean, you have to be to do what she does, but she is also she goes about it with a pleasant disposition, and her approach, you know, she'll say her approach to racing got better when she loosened up a little bit. And I find that in my own life as well, and I love hearing her story. So I'm very pleased with her results, and she's just a wonderful representation of our sport.
Right on. All right. Natasha Wodak coming up and others. Ben, great to talk to you. Safe travels home, and we'll talk to you next week when you'll be sharing in the cold weather with me.
I'm sorry. I'm going to start doing iRun remote now from Old San Juan.
Yeah. Don't come home if you can avoid it. Thanks, Ben.
Cheers, sir.
Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, we'll talk to the coach and runner behind the McMillan Running Calculator. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. It's a great pleasure to welcome back to iRun Radio legendary coach Greg McMillan. Greg is a runner, exercise scientist, and coach. He's helped everyone from Olympic athletes to everyday runners achieve their goals. Greg, great to talk to you again. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And look, I want to talk a little bit about your journey as a runner and how you turned your passion for running into how you turned it into a vocation in life. Tell me about that journey and how you got to here.
Well, I guess it really just started with me getting so into running when I was in high school. That's really where I caught the running bug. Even though I'd run a little bit when I was younger and I was successful sort of in elementary school, it was really in high school that the bug bit me. And I think we've all had that experience where you kind of like, wow, I'm a runner. I really want to get better at this. And as a result, I just started reading and studying and listening to anything I could about how to be better at running. And that's what I wanted to study in college, which is what I did. I got an undergraduate and graduate degree in exercise science. So I was very interested in just performance. How can you get better? And mainly it was for myself. It was a selfish interest of wanting to know, how can I be a better runner? And of course, if you're studying exercise science and you're a good runner, I was a good runner. I was state champion in high school and ran in college and have now been national champion. So if you are studying these things, people start asking you questions. And I was all certainly very happy to explain what I had learned through my reading, my own training and racing. And then suddenly they ask you for a workout, and then suddenly they ask you for a training plan, and suddenly they're calling you coach. So it wasn't really that I set out to become a running coach. It was more that I set out to understand better how to improve my own running, and then just loving the sport so much and being, I think, open to sharing information. And I was lucky that I was good at writing. I was good at communicating. And so as a result, more and more people were interested in working with me. And then it just got to the point where I was like, well, I might as well just do this. There's enough people that are interested in working with me. I might as well do this as opposed to something else.
Yeah. So you kind of were brought into it. You were pulled into it rather than pushing your way in. And isn't that the best thing, right? I mean, that's great when the world kind of leads you towards something that just makes sense and is the next logical step for you, right?
Yeah, I guess it's kind of following that old Joseph Campbell follow your bliss idea, where I was just simply interested in the sport and studying it, and then all of a sudden all of these doors began to open where I was obviously getting educated, so I was learning that way, and I was studying with some really great professors, and then I got exposed to being the world's greatest coaches. I toured with Arthur Lydiard before he died. Joe Vigil is one of my mentors as well. I've worked a lot with him. So all of these people kind of just came into my life in different ways that informed and helped me learn how to better help all runners. So no matter if they're a beginning runner all the way up to athletes in the Olympics, because I've had coached athletes in the Olympics, that whole range I feel really comfortable with now, mainly because I had those experiences when I was younger.
Now, you took it to another level, though, because you obviously got into some of the data around running, and you created this calculator that allows people to enter a half marathon time, and it will project their marathon time and vice versa and just about every distance in between. And so obviously you took your passion deep into the numbers around running as well, right?
I did, and really that was another sort of selfish thing in that when I first started coaching, I always coached a really wide range of runners. I didn't just coach high schoolers. I didn't just coach like really fast people. I didn't just coach people that were just getting into the sport and were slower. I always coached a lot of different people. And if you do that, one of the challenges is that if you're working with someone who's the same speed as you, say your 5K or 10K time is similar, then all the training paces make sense to you, right? But if you have to work with somebody who's much faster than you or much slower than you, then it's hard to know what are those paces, how should I schedule these paces for those different types of runners? So I use my research from graduate school to come up with a method that was what I felt like could prescribe accurately the optimal training paces for all runners, no matter their performance ability, and then also to be able to predict their performances at different race distances, because obviously as their coach, I was giving them guidance as to, I think this is an appropriate race pace for your upcoming event. And there were different estimators and calculators and predictors available, but none of them sort of worked for what I was doing, which was coaching a really wide range of people and in one sort of simple tool. And so as a result, it was kind of, I just needed it. So I created it and I used it for several years just with my own runners. And then I just happened to put it on my website as part of an article. So it was like page 3 of a long article on my training system. And then my buddy, who is a computer programmer and helped me put the website up, he said, "Have you seen the analytics? What's going on that page?" Well, it ended up it was the calculator page. And yeah. So as a result, we kind of moved it forward, and it kind of a lot of people became aware of me through that free calculator that still exists on the website today, of course.
Yeah, and it's very cool. And I've used it many times. And I have to tell you, I'm amazed at how accurate it is. It's really accurate in the case of predicting some of my times. And how useful it is, because, you know, this is not just sort of out of interest that people do this, but you kind of have to know what to strive for and what a realistic target is. If you're going to do a marathon or a half marathon and you're thinking, well, should I aim for this time or this time? What's realistic? It allows you to put in some recent times that you've run in other races and tells you, look, this is your range, right? So it's actually very helpful. It's not just for fun. It's not just to sort of, you know, kind of have a ballpark of what a performance translates to. You can actually use it.
Yeah, that's the whole goal, is to be able to help runners optimize their training and racing. And I think more information and getting guidance helps sort of calm the mind, right? Because we all want to know the future. What can I run? What can my performance level be?
Exactly.
And this kind of gives us that sort of experience, data-driven information to make a good, at least starting guess as to what I can achieve. And then you get the feedback from the training and you can modify. So you can go into your races feeling fairly confident this is a reasonable race pace for me. And that is very comforting when you're going into an event where you know you're going to be challenging yourself.
Now, you mentioned you work with runners of all different speeds, elite runners, amateur runners. Is there a big difference between training an elite runner or training somebody who's going to run a 4.5-hour marathon? I know there are some differences, but one of the things I really like about running is there actually is quite a lot in common. Even if you're not running super fast, the training lessons are the same if you're in the front of the pack, the middle of the pack, or the back of the pack.
That is so true. And a lot of runners, when they first meet an elite runner or get to talk to somebody who's gone to the Olympics, it only takes a few minutes before they start going, "Wow, you feel that way too? Wow, it's hard for you too? Wow, you struggle in workouts too?" They really start to see that while the speed can be very, very different, the experiences are exactly the same. Sort of the challenges that you have in training, where you have those really great workouts and you feel awesome, and then you have workouts that are the opposite of that and you wonder where your fitness has gone, to in races where you may struggle even before races with maybe getting really nervous or concerned about are you going to succeed or not, or struggling during a race to not be your best. All those kinds of things are consistent no matter your speed. It is really down to, I am trying to perform at my maximum across this race distance, and we all kind of experience that the same. So while, yes, their speeds certainly are kind of mind-boggling, and they certainly make it look easy when you watch them, but internally they are going through very similar emotions that we do.
Yeah, very true. All right, let's talk more about the coaching that you offer, because you obviously work with lots and lots of different clients and help them achieve their goals. And the great thing about our technology today is you don't even have to be in the same place as them. You might never meet them face to face, but you are able to form a relationship and guide them to achieving their objectives as a runner. And you have a new way of doing that recently, right?
Yeah, I've been really fortunate to sort of start early in the online coaching world. When I launched my business, was 2001. That was really early in the internet world, and have been able to kind of leverage technology to help more and more runners, because that's the biggest challenge that I faced as a coach, was just simply, how can I help more runners? I only have so much time during the day to personally coach someone. So being able to leverage technology and build an online training and coaching platform that allows runners around the world to take advantage of the training system, engage with me when they have questions and need advice, has been really rewarding. It's called the McMillan Run Team. We actually offer a free trial of it, so anybody can go to mcmillanrunning.com and click on the link in the navigation bar to do the free trial, and you can check it out. It includes all of my training plans, all of my prehab or like core strength training plans. I have a full library of how-to videos, how to do workouts, how to adjust workouts. When things come up that you need to make a decision, sort of what the decision, the thought processes are that you should do, I send out a weekly check-in email to all the athletes to see how they're doing. I send a weekly video update with some coaching tip or some training strategy that I want them to keep in mind as they go through their training process. And it has been fantastic. It really allows more people to use the training system, get advice, and you know, they can sync it with their watch so that their workouts download from their watch into the training calendar. All of those kinds of bells and whistles that we now have has really made it fun, I think, for the athlete and certainly for me.
Well, Greg, it's great to talk to you and to hear your passion for running. I really appreciate you joining us on the show. Thank you so much for your time.
You bet. Take care.
That's Greg McMillan of McMillan Running. Coming up next, an athlete who is 85 years old. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is on the air every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. And you can listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at irun.ca. Just click on radio. We met our next guest when he sent us a picture of himself and his two daughters crossing the finish line, hand in hand in hand. He's 85 years old, and he's still very fit, skiing, running, mountain biking, and more. Norman Spinks, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm pleased to join you.
So tell me about how you got into running.
Well, first came cross-country skiing. My family and I got to Canada in the early 1970s, 72 or 73. Got involved in cross-country. And that went along for a few years. And people I knew were charging off to the races, and I started getting involved in cross-country ski races, which led to running in training, getting ready for cross, you know, this would be some running in late summer, early spring, early fall, to get ready for the cross-country skiing season. I'm a keen runner, and most of my family, the kids, we had four kids. My three girls all got to be pretty good long-distance runners.
And tell me a little bit about the kind of running you've done.
I got into marathons in the 70s, 80s. I did 16 marathons. And I was mainly under 3 hours for the marathon. I did do a 2 hour 49. That was my best in Ottawa.
Wow.
Actually, my 2 hours 49 was at the age, I think, of 48. So I'm now 85. So I tapered off from marathons to halves. I had my two elder daughters doing marathons. My third daughter, my youngest daughter, she's still running. She lives in Ottawa. I'm just a couple of hours away from Ottawa, so I get to run with her quite a bit. And up to a couple of years ago, we got doing half marathons. At least a couple, I would say.
So you ran them with your daughter?
I ran them, yes. I was faster than her if we go back a decade. And I think in the army run, I would do the 10K kind of Saturday night, then I would run with her in the half on Sunday morning, that kind of thing. And I'd take it easy to stay with her. And that kept going a few years, and now she's taking it easy. We had enough of doing half marathons. We cut it down to 10s, and now we're down to 5s. And now she takes it easy so that I can keep up.
Okay.
So there's a switch around there.
So did you do the 5K at the Army Run last year?
I think it was just the 5K Army Run that we did last September.
Yeah.
My daughter and I.
Yeah,
oh,
and how was...
daughters and I. We had a pretty good photo crossing the finish with a daughter in each hand, and that got on to the iRun magazine of September. I think
right.
That was... I had a granddaughter as well. She went ahead just at the end and missed out on the photo op.
What a nice photo. I mean, that's a special moment, crossing the finish line with your two daughters, hand in hand.
Well, it was a special moment, and I was happy about that.
And tell me why you have enjoyed running so much.
Well, I do lots of sports, and I'm competitive. And, I'm good. I'm good at it. And typically I'll enter an event, whether it's the May Marathon or the Ottawa Marathon or the Army, I'll enter an event and I'll train for it. You know, even if it's nasty conditions, I'll be out because I have to train for the event. So it's my competitive nature that gets me going, and of course I hurt a bit. The joints get hurting, and I have to push myself. But I enjoy running. I like getting off-road and doing running off-road.
But obviously you like staying in shape, right? And you like testing yourself and challenging yourself.
Yep, I do. Yep. I have other sports that, you know, I'm a pretty much a top golfer for my age. So that I've won the Quebec Seniors Championship golf, and I'm a mountain biker. Not that I've done competition, but I live in Deep River, and we've got really good mountain biking trails, and we've got a group of retirees, a couple of dozen retirees that meet 3 times a week mountain biking.
Wow.
So I've been doing that for years and years.
Good for you. So tell me what you see in the future. Are you going to continue to do running, cross-country skiing, golf, whatever, mountain biking, whatever sports you can for as long as you can? Is that the goal?
I would like to, but I'm finding that my energy levels at 85 are dropping off much more than they were a year ago. So I'm not anywhere near as good as I used to be.
But I think the way, I mean, I realize maybe you're not going as fast as you did before, but isn't the way to look at this that you're still staying fit and you're still running and skiing and competing at 85, which is a pretty incredible thing on its own?
Well, I...
you should be proud of this.
I mean, I enjoy doing these things still, and I'll continue cross-country skiing, but I have decided against any more racing with cross-country skiing. And we'll see what happens with running. With cross-country skiing, being able to keep warm was doing me in.
Sure.
That is not going to be an issue with running.
Yeah.
One of my daughters, one of those two daughters in the photo is holidaying in Florida right now, and I'm going to join her in a couple of weeks. And I'm looking to doing some running and to run walking.
Yeah, well, that sounds pretty good to me. I got to tell you, you may feel you're slowing down a bit. You're an inspiration. You're running at 85. You're doing all these other sports. You're staying active and healthy. I think there are a lot of people who would love to be doing the same thing as you at that age. So congratulations on...
I love talking about myself. I got a goal which is probably a bit outrageous.
Okay, what's that?
I've done Round the Bay a couple of times.
Yeah.
And I entered three years ago, knowing that I could walk 30K, but the trouble is, there's a cutoff time of, it means you give it about 4.5 hours to make the finish, to be official around the bay, and I'm even thinking of trying for it again this year. I couldn't do it 2 years ago, therefore I can't do it.
Well, you never know. I think you should. Give it a shot. Why not?
What I would like to do is to get past the cutoff at halfway and then just take my time to finish off.
Right. Well, I hope you do it. I think that would be very inspiring. And once again, I want to thank you for being on iRun Radio with us. Thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
That's Norman Spinks. Coming up next, elite runner Natasha Wodak. iRun Radio is brought to you in part by New Balance Canada. New Balance is a proud sponsor of the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, fitting elite Olympic marathoners like Reed Coolset, and also making shoes that are ideal for you. Elite Canadian runner Natasha Wodak just set a personal best in the half marathon at a race in Houston. She is also going to be on the cover of the next edition of iRun Magazine. Natasha, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And you are going to be on the cover of our next issue that's going to be out in a few weeks. And this issue is all about eating and drinking and the food and nutrition we consume that I think a little bit about the stuff we indulge in, but also the stuff, of course, that helps us perform better. So congratulations on being on the cover. That's exciting.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'm stoked. And, you know, Ben made me feel very special and told me I was the only person that's ever got to be on the cover twice. So I definitely feel very lucky.
Wow. That's great.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm doing something right.
Yeah. And do you think it is a good fit for you to be on the issue where we're talking about nutrition and food and that kind of thing?
Yes, I think I'm a good example of somebody that has a lot of insight when it comes to eating and drinking, you know, everything in moderation. For sure. And it's also kind of cool because today I found out that I am a Clif Bar ambassador for the year. So I'm very excited to join forces with my very favorite energy bar.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Congratulations on that. And
thank you. Yeah, I'm super stoked.
How much you, as an elite athlete, obviously, you have to learn a lot about that side of things, right? As much as you do about your training, about what you, what fuel you take in and how it affects your performance.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's taken me a long time. And, you know, I'm 37 and I've had a lot of time to learn what works for me and what doesn't work for me. And it's definitely, you know, what you put into your body, like, it's fuel. You know, we're like, you have to treat yourself like, I've always been told, treat yourself like a luxury car. You put in a shitty gasoline, it's going to run shitty. So, you know, fuel yourself with good food and, you know, you're going to run well.
Yeah.
That's the way I think about it. So.
Yeah, very true. And so tell me a little bit about what you've learned and how your diet has changed as a result of that.
Absolutely. I think the most important change I've made probably in the last 5 years is just what I'm eating throughout the day, especially in the morning and after my workout. So getting in, you know, like a proper breakfast before every run and workout, getting in and then getting in nutrition right after as well. So within that, you know, half an hour to hour range after a workout, always having something, whether it be an energy bar, a Clif bar, banana, an apple, a smoothie, something accessible immediately after a workout. And before, I wasn't doing those kinds of things, and I would get home and I would be starving and I would reach for something shitty. And that's the worst, right? And then you'd have an upset stomach and you're not fueling your body properly after it's just worked so hard. So, and also before a workout, getting in, stuff that's going to give you the most energy and get the most out of your workout. So, whether that's, a lot of people like oatmeal, and I am, multigrain, toast, banana, peanut butter, or like I said, I find an energy bar that works for you. Me, Clif Bar. I have a Clif Bar before every half marathon that I run, and a coffee. And you got, get in what works for you. So for me, I need a lot of carbs, a carb-heavy breakfast.
And it's a lot of trial and error, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It takes a long time to figure it all out.
So I can't have, a lot of people can have eggs before they run. I can't have eggs. I can't have basically dairy. So milk is out of the question. I would never have like a latte or a milk-based smoothie or anything like that. So, I'll have a tiny bit of milk in my coffee, but like I'm talking a tablespoon, but I would never have like yogurt or anything like that before run.
Now let's talk about the half marathon you ran in Houston, because it was a personal best for you and by 47 seconds, which is a big chunk of time, and you were within 25 seconds of the Canadian record. And the other thing I would say is I saw a picture of you after the race. I think Alan Brooks from the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon sent it out, and you looked so happy at the end of the race. You looked thrilled with your performance.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I hadn't had a PB in half marathon in over 4 years. So, I was definitely very happy. And through December, Christmas time, we had been on holiday in St. Lucia and Barbados, and then went to Hawaii for kind of a holiday and training camp. So I wasn't, I wasn't training my ass off in December for targeting, the record in Houston. It was like I was training throughout December, getting in the base, getting in the quality, but not taking it too seriously because, it's such a big season with world cross country in March, and then, Peyton Jordan in May, and then Pan Am Games in July, and then World Track in October. I didn't want to do too much over the holidays. And so when I went to Houston, it was like, I feel fit, but I know I'm not, I hadn't been targeting it. So when I finished, I was surprised because I didn't think it was possible for me to really run that fast. So I was really, really, really happy to have had that result early in the year. Yeah.
Yeah, right on. Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Who knows where you could go from here? You mentioned...
Hopefully. Gotta stay healthy.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned Hawaii and doing some training there. Tell us a little bit about that, because another picture I saw that you shared on Instagram, you're kind of leaping up in the air on a beach in Hawaii, and I've never been to Hawaii, but I suspect that's how I would feel if I was there too, because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I had never been to Hawaii either, and it was amazing, and we booked the trip 3 days before we left, so it was right after Christmas, and my boyfriend was like, hey, I'm on holidays next week, and I was like, you are? And we were like, we should go somewhere, and then my really good friend Catherine Moore was there for 2 weeks, and I thought, why don't we go to Honolulu? And he was like, okay. So we just booked, flights on points and found hotel, and 3 days later, we found ourselves in Waikiki, and it was great. We were able to get in some really nice warm weather running, and we went with the idea that we were going to train, and it wasn't going to be like sitting on the beach sort of thing. Like, we definitely enjoyed, some pool time and some good food and wine, but the priority of the trip was to take advantage of the warm weather and get in some good training, so...
Sounds great.
Yeah, it was great. It was awesome.
Now, Ben said that I should ask you about how being happier has made you a better runner. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think in general, everyone would agree that if you're happy in life, you're going to do well at whatever it is that yeah. you're passionate about. So for me, running, I tend to, you know, run well when I'm happy overall, which I guess has shown in the last, you know, couple of years. And with that is, you know, just the fact that I have been healthy, uninjured, with very few stoppages due to, you know, like an illness or anything. And so that's, you know, that's huge. Like, that's definitely part of my happiness, and just being settled in a, you know, a solid relationship and having moved to a nice home. And I have a great, you know, a great relationship with my coach. We have, you know, Lynn Kanuka came on board almost 2 years ago now, and we've just sort of, you know, meshed so well together, and it's been awesome. So, you know, all of those things, and just, you know, my family, you know, with a few health scares, you know, everyone's been really healthy and doing well. So I think, you know, I have less to worry about, less to stress about, and just relax and run. And it's resulted in some, you know, good training and solid performances. And I'm hoping to go into the rest of the year healthy and happy and running well.
Yeah, well, that sounds great. And it points to the fact that so much of, you know, we think of running as a physical activity and competitive sports as being physical, but so much of it is mental as well. And you have to be in a good place to be able to train well and to get the results you want and to have the right outlook as you're doing all of it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And I think also that, you know, at my age and having already ticked off all of the boxes I had ever really hoped to tick off in my running career, you know, like I say, everything is sort of icing on the cake. So every PB and every national team I make is really awesome. But I'm not, when I'm training and when I'm running, I'm just thankful that I'm still able to do this. And it's sort of a different mindset than it was before, where it was like, I have to hammer every workout. I need to do all this stuff. I need to be faster. And now it's just kind of like, when you let yourself just be, it's amazing how it just happens.
Right on. Yeah, well, that's very well said. Good for you. I'm glad you're in that place and that you have that outlook and that you're getting great results like you did in Houston. And I hope that continues.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for being with us on iRun Radio.
Thank you for having me.
That's elite Canadian runner Natasha Wodak. Coming up in the weeks ahead on iRun Radio, we're going to talk about a marathon in Phoenix. And we're going to check in with an incredible ultra marathoner who sometimes runs the same marathon course twice in one day. I hope you can join us next week on iRun Radio. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.